Cooper is in a walking boot. Apparently, what's happening with him?
He's got a foot injury. It's just a preventive thing. He should be back in a couple of days.
Urban Meyer was very effusive about his time here with you. He was going to, you know, adopt some things to what he's doing there. What'd you tell him that was so useful to him?
I don't know specifically. He was here for a couple of days. I've known Urban for a long time. I have great respect for him. I think he's one of the all-time great coaches in college football. He's actually very, very good friends with Billy Davis. Billy and him went to college together. So I visited Urban when he was at Florida. I went to Ohio State this year to watch him practice. And he's one of the guys I talk a lot of football with. And it was good that he had a chance to come out here. And we shared ideas. We got as much out of them as they get out of us.
When do you guys share ideas? Is it generally macro stuff? Or are you really getting into heavy details and specifics?
It's all. You know, it's plays, it's schemes, it's what are you doing off the field, it's everything.
In Jenkins' career, he's not been a high-volume interception guy. Is there luck involved in that, or is it a scheme thing? What do you make out of interceptions?
I don't know what – I mean, I didn't really study Malcolm until we played the Saints this past year, so I couldn't tell you why he hadn't have a high volume. You know, I think he's got a real good feel for the game. He's got a great understanding of rub combination. So he's made a lot of really good plays here in camp so far. So I couldn't tell you why he hadn't had any in the past.
Here?
Yeah, I saw him here. I've seen he's had a couple picks in the last couple of days. So I've seen him, and I watch him in drills. I think he catches the ball really well.
You talked about tweaking the offense this year as opposed to last and catering the scheme to certain players' skill sets. I mean, you're going to have a new outside receiver, a new slot receiver, Darren Sproles. I mean, how much can change because you have those new players, or is the offense generally going to be...
No, it always changes. It always changes. And I've said it since day one. Your offense is always personnel-driven. You know, so if you have... The biggest thing you have to do is identify the skill sets that you have and then adjust to those skill sets. And that's what football's always been. Our offense has changed every year. I've been in charge of the offense, whether I was at New Hampshire, or at Oregon, or here. You know, our quarterbacks had different skill sets, so... You know, we were in more power running plays when Jeremiah Masoli was our quarterback. He was an outstanding runner. You know, he was different than Darren Thomas, and Darren was more of a pocket passer and could do some different things. You know, Darren was actually really good at throwing on the run also. So whatever their strengths are, you try to cater to those. But that'll always be the case. So we've got some new guys, so we'll tweak what we're doing based upon what their skill sets are as we continue to evaluate here and say, hey, how do we run this as we opposed to we didn't do this much in the past, but now that we got a different type of person in that situation, let's do this. So.
You've also said the defense is, I mean, a lot of times they know what's coming. I mean, it's going to be execution and et cetera. And yet I keep hearing, like, everyone saying, oh, well, coaches are going to have the off season to figure out Chip Kelly's offense, et cetera. I mean, do you change things to counter that?
We don't change for change's sake. I mean, you know, you self-scout yourself and you're 5 for 5 on a certain pass pattern. You don't say, we're not going to call it again because they know it's coming. You know, they still have to stop you in certain situations, but it's still football. I mean, that's just the talking season where guys will say they've had time to figure it out. I mean, we're not doing anything. I've said it since day one. We don't do anything revolutionary offensively. You know, we run inside zone. We run outside zone. We run a sweep play. We run a power play. We got a 5-step game. We got a 3-step game. We run some screens. I mean, we're not doing anything that has never been done before in football. So,
the back shoulder throw, was that a tool in the toolbox last year? And kind of what are the keys to making that work with the quarterback?
It's no different than running a slant or running a hitch. It's just something to do. If coverage is tight and you haven't beat the guy over the top, then you know maybe the way to get the ball completed is to throw it behind him. But it's not a real big deal. So.
Is that something you guys worked on last year? Or
yeah, I think everybody works on that. It just depends on how people defend you. You know what I mean?
Back in the spring, there was talk about possibly on occasion flip-flopping bar-winning Cole from Predator to Jack and Jack to Predator just to give their offenses a different look. How's that going? How's that experiment going?
It's not an experiment. It's just two positions. So it just depends on how Billy makes a call on how they want to deploy him. But it's not – I mean, either guy can rush and either guy could drop. So, and sometimes both rush and sometimes both drop. So it's not a – it's just a play call. It's not a switch an entire position that you're going to play somewhere else. It's no different than being a left receiver and a right receiver.
The responsibilities are different, right? I mean, as far as Predator and Jack go.
No. Not in general, no. You know, usually our Jack drops a little bit more than our Predator, but our Predator drops. So it's not like Trent has to learn something new. It's just if Billy makes a call, he's going to tell Connor to rush and Trent to drop.
So did Earl Wolf have an injury yesterday?
He was a little sore. He's supposed to go today, so he should be full. So.
Sore in the...
I don't know. I didn't even ask. They said he's going today, so I wasn't a concern. So.
What is your thoughts on the league putting more emphasis on pass interference and defensive calls?
Just tell us what the rules are, and we play by them. So, you know, it's good that we have the officials here. When they come in, they do a great job. They present. They had a video that they showed from the league, and then they really sit down. Like, the group we have, the four guys we have right now are outstanding. They sat down, you know, by position groups and kind of explained how they see things. They had an opportunity to practice, you know, with us. They're getting work on that. But then if they threw the flags yesterday, we charted them, and then they got a chance to go in and meet with the position groups and say and watch the film with the guy. So, you know, if they called an offensive holding, this is why I called it, this is what I saw. If they called a defensive pass interference or an illegal contact, we had an offensive pass interference, so they were in with the wide receivers explaining how they're going to emphasize that this year. So I think to anybody, as long as it's called the same way for all 32 teams, it doesn't bother us. You know, it's just if it's called one way in one game and then one way in another game, but it's really not like that. It's just, you know, we were aware of it. They voted on all this stuff at the league meetings and presented it to us there, so we've been pretty conscious of what's coming down the road. So.
I know you're expecting Riley to be back in a few days, but how do you feel about your wide receiver depth if one of your starters would be out for an extended period of time?
I don't know about that because I don't worry about that. I like our wide receiver depth on Friday, so we got enough guys to run around and run routes, so I'm not concerned with that. I'd ever get involved with what's our depth here, what's our depth there. You know, I think the biggest decision we're doing right now is making evaluations of who's going to make the team, you know, because we have to at some point in time. We've got 12 or 13 of those guys. We're going to have to cut down to 5 or 6, depending on how we juggle the roster with the 53-man roster and then how many guys get onto the practice squad. So, you know, looking where we are down the road in terms of what happens if a guy gets, you know, if a guy gets hurt. You know, you can say that about any position on our football team or any other team in the National Football League. You know, if we were to lose LeSean McCoy, then we're down at the running back spot. But if not, we feel really good about our depth. So I think when you do that as a coach and start to look at what if I lose him at this, I think there's not much you can really do about it, you know. So
you talked about sharing ideas with Urban this offseason. Did you approach how you spoke to coaches, especially ones that you know in the NFL, about your ideas? Because obviously you're in a different league, and I don't know if you did any clinics this offseason like you used to do in the past. Are you cognizant of that, and, you know, coaches coming to glean information from you about your offense?
No, I mean, I don't think anybody in the NFL sits down with anybody in the NFL, so it's, you know, just like when we were in the Pac-12, we didn't visit with other teams in our league, but you visited with teams that you don't play. So I think that's kind of how it works at the college level. So, you know, kind of the sharing of ideas from that standpoint is how it works. You may talk to a friend of yours that's in the league about a scheme or how do you, you know, everybody runs the same thing, how you teach in the out route, but I don't think they're getting into real details of what they're doing.
Is it too soon to discern if the upgrades that you wanted are actually there? You know,
I have no idea. I mean, we haven't played a game. I mean, that's where the game is the big part of it. You know, I think you can get into situations and who's really good at covering punts. You know, I mean, you're not doing live special teams work in training sessions. You're gonna get your live special teams work in games. So, you know, these four preseason games will be huge for a lot of those guys in terms of where we are in terms of covering kicks, covering punts, and being able to see where our return game is. But that's what part of those four special teams, four preseason games are.
Is Bomba as way ahead of where he was a year ago, and if he is, how?
I don't know about the word way, but he is ahead of where he was last year. He has improved. You know, I think it's just a better understanding of what's going on. You know, I think you forget that he missed his senior year in college because of the injury, so he was coming off a real long point where he didn't play football. So I think he's just getting back out there, getting familiar. He was obviously, we could notice an improvement with him when we saw him, you know, during the spring, during the off-season program, and I think he's done the same thing here. So, you know, he's put himself in position to compete for a job.
Safe to assume that you're happy with that emphasis?
I didn't have any issues with the officials last year, so, I mean, and that wasn't anything that was brought up in our league meeting, so we never really talked about that. I know there was an article written about that a couple weeks ago, I think, but I mean, that wasn't a discussion with any of the coaches that I was aware of. So.
Preseason games. Looks like next year they'll probably only have two and maybe a shorter training camp. Eventually they'll go to that anyway. Will that?
I don't know about that.
If they do, would that be tougher to evaluate guys and get all that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe you start practicing more with other teams. I don't know, but we haven't gotten anything that's saying we're going in that direction.
Belichick's comments about the NFL becoming more of a substitution league. I mean, it's been like that for a while. But I'm just wondering if it's going to go even further, and how does that affect how you look at your personnel and having strength, depth at each spot that you can come in and play any type of game.
I didn't see Bill's comments. Where were those?
He was just saying how he was looking back to like the early '70s, obviously. Things have changed, but just how you split all of it.
Dress codes have changed since the '70s too. So, except for Howard, Howard can rock some things at any days. But I think the game's cyclical. It comes around, it goes around. I mean, people used to do it, no matter where they are. I think a lot of the substitution patterns and things you see depends on if you have guys to substitute. You know, and there's a lot more that goes into it. You know, and we've talked about it before. How does the defense defend this? Well, we'd rather have that guy on the field defensively, so we want to stay in this personnel grouping a little bit more. But you're still
11 straight up. I mean, it's never going to be like a defense just plays 11 and never just goes nickel and brings a guy. You know, like
they're not. I mean, what did you say?
It's never going to be just the 11. Same 11 defenders are going to play.
No, I mean, we've obviously morphed from when Concrete Charlie was going both ways and playing center and linebacker. So the game has moved more towards specialization in the history of the game. And I think you're still governed by a 46-man roster, though. So you can't say, hey, we want to have this elaborate receiver package. Well, if you only have five receivers active on game day, it's kind of tough on how elaborate you can get because you're going to run those guys into the ground. So I think sometimes those decisions are all made on how big your roster is, and until they increase the size of the roster, or if they, I don't know if they ever are, you know, you're still kind of limited. You're not going to carry four and five tight ends on game day just because of you're going to be short in special teams, you're going to be short in some other spots. So there's kind of that fine line is you'd love to be able to run this and this, but you can't because you don't have those guys available to you, you know. And if, like, for us, we keep three tight ends active on game day. We can do some three tight end things, but if one of them tweaks an ankle in a game, well, that whole thing that you practice all week long in the three tight end set is out the window, you know. So you still have to kind of play to what you have, what's available for you from a number standpoint on game day.
Just for time. Thank you.